We pray and ask God for the word, and we ask God to undertake for us. Because you see, the body of Christ deserves, amen, to hear from God. And the word of God is precious.
Amen.
It's able to save our soul. Yes. It's able to encourage us. Amen. It's able to be a light, amen, unto our path. Amen. Think of that. It lights our way. Amen. And our steps will be sure. Tonight in the book of 2 Peter, over towards the end of the Word of God in the New Testament, in 2 Peter, we're going to start with verse 3 here in a moment. And we're going to be going through verses through 14. I titled this message tonight, What Manner of Persons Ought We to Be? What kind of people should the children of God be? Amen. And in the Word of God, Apostle Peter speaks, and starting with verse 3, in chapter 3 of 2 Peter, Peter says, Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, Where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Amen. Scoffers, doubters, unbelievers, walking after their own lust. Their God is not our God. Our God is the Lord Jesus Christ. Their God is their own bellies. They serve themselves. They worship themselves. They are full of lusts, jealousies, envies, strifes, murmurers, complainers, backbiters, slanderers. For this they willingly are ignorant, of that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perisheth. Amen. The word of God says that these people, amen, they ask, where is the sign of the Lord's coming? You all preach and teach, amen, that the Lord's coming again, that there's going to be a rapture of the church. But from the time I was a young man and heard the man of God preach, amen, the end time, now I'm an old man and I still haven't seen the coming of the Lord. But they're willingly ignorant. Amen. They are not, amen, in the mind of God. They are willfully ignorant of the Word of God. Not wanting to know God's truth. But we, the children of God, are not ignorant. For we know His Word. We know His promises. Amen. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. We also believe God's Word, and it's counted for us for righteousness. Amen. It's not our own righteousness. But because we believe what the Word of God says, that we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, well then God counts that for us as righteousness. Amen. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same Word of God, are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment, and the perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, amen, as some men count slackness, but He is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. This present heaven, the atmosphere above us, and this earth, amen, the air that we breathe, the earth, the planet we stand on, is reserved unto fire. God destroyed the old world of Noah's day by the overflowing of water. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in tonight. to those that aren't looking for Him, those that are scoffers, those that are doubters, unbelievers. Amen. When one of the least of these break in, one is asleep, one is unaware. The thief comes in the night. The thief comes when you're unaware of him coming. He would break into your home, amen, and steal your possessions if you're not awake. We tonight that know the Word of God, we are awake. This present world will pass away. That is, it will die with a great noise, perhaps a nuclear explosion. And the elements, the very air we breathe, shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Amen. I speak to you tonight, amen, that in Noah's day, for 120 years, Noah built that ark according to the Word of God. He and his three sons, his wife, and his son's three wives, eight souls, believed God. Eight souls, and they prepared that ark. And Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And he preached, amen, to the people daily as they come to look at him and to mock him, amen, and his family. And he warned them that it's going to rain. There's going to come a day that this world is going to be flooded. Amen. And at that time, it had never rained upon the earth, but the dew of the ground came up in the night and watered the earth. People had never heard of rain, but yet Noah said it's going to rain. Water is going to come down out of heaven. They did not believe, and God destroyed them in their unbelief. Amen. And the Word of God says to us through Apostle Peter that even as God destroyed the world once by water, that He is going to destroy this present heaven and this present earth with fire. Amen. And it's going to be hot. Amen. The very elements are going to melt. Amen. When the sea catches on fire and water burns, it's going to be hot. The atmosphere is going to be dissolved. This world is going to become like the moon. It's going to be airless and it's going to be lifeless. It's going to be a burnt cinder. That is what God has spoken in His Word concerning this world. And therefore, if you believe what thus saith the Lord, amen, then the Word of God says, what kind of person ought you to be in your conversation? Amen, and godliness. The Word of God says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. No dirty jokes, amen, no lies, no cursings, but only that which may be used for edifying, to lift up, to encourage, to say something good, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Now, grace is the unmerited favor of God. We are saved by grace through faith, and it's not of ourselves. Amen. It's not of works. It is a free gift of God, lest any man should boast. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Folks, we born again Christians with the Holy Spirit in us, amen, if we are disobedient, amen, if we don't have a good godly conversation, amen, we can actually grieve the Spirit of God. We can make the Lord sad, sorrowful. But the Word of God says, amen, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby we are sealed until the day of redemption. We are a purchased possession. We have been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord did not only purchase our soul, but the Lord purchased our body and our soul, which are God's. Therefore, worship God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Amen. We are not our own. Amen. We are been bought with a price. And that price is the very blood of Jesus Christ. Does God love you? Yes, God loves you. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. God has proved His love to us. And it's not God's will that any should perish, but all should come unto repentance. Amen. What manner of persons ought we to be? Amen. We are the hope of the world, though the world does not know it. Amen. We are their only hope. The Word of God says, Jesus said, when I was in the world, I was the light of the world. He said, but now you are the light of the world. Jesus Christ is no longer here in the flesh, but He's in heavenly places. Amen. But now the Word of God says that we are the very light of God, that people see Christ through us. Amen. And therefore, the church is the hope of the world. And the hope of the church is, if you would, amen, verse 12, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. But now here's the hope of the church, verse 13, nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be you diligent that you may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. It is a terrible thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Our God is a consuming fire. Amen. Our God is not slack concerning His promise, as men count slackness, but our God is long-suffering that none would be lost. Amen. That's why we sing that song, wait a little longer, please Jesus, until our loved ones can be brought in. Amen. But God's not slack. But as the Word of God says, that God's time is not our time. That one day with God, one day with our God, is the same as 1,000 years to us. Think of that. And 1,000 years to us is only one day to God. Therefore, our God is not slack concerning His promise of coming back. Amen. God has a day, and He has a time, and it's appointed, and it's going to take place. Amen. Amen. It's going to happen, but it's up to us if we're ready. Amen. I want to make a couple examples to you in the Word of God. What type of person that you ought not to be. Amen. We know what type of person we ought to be. We ought to be a person of good conversation. We ought to be, amen, lights into the world. Amen. We ought to be the children of God. But in God's Word, there's two examples of two men. One is named Samson. The second one is named Esau. And these two men, amen, could have a very good calling in the Lord. They had, amen, promises of God, even as we today in the church have promises of God. But do not be a Samson, who for the lust of the flesh, hear me, gave up the Lord's anointing, the Lord's protection, and the Lord's strength. Samson was chosen. Chosen before his birth. Chosen to be a Nazarite. Chosen to be a man that wasn't ever to taste strong liquor. Amen. Chosen to be a man, amen, that did not cut his hair. For when a Nazarite takes a vow unto God, they do not cut their hair. And Samson was a Nazarite from his birth. Amen. And the Word of God says that his strength was in his hair. Amen. Think about that. Amen. But as Samson, when he became a man, amen, you've got to be careful when the anointing of God is upon you. Be careful not to get pride. Be careful not to get, amen, conceit. Amen. The anointing was surely upon Lucifer, the angel of the morning. Surely he was created an angel. Amen. He was when he was created perfect. And he was created full of wisdom. But because of his own brightness, Satan was deceived. And the Word of God tells me that there came a day that Samson looked upon a woman named Delilah. And by God's Word, He spoke to His people and said, you are not to take a wife of any other nation but the nation of Israel. You are not to marry among the heathen, for they will draw you away from your God. But Samson, instead of going to a lady of Israel, instead of proposing to her, and instead of her becoming his wife, and him continuing to live a godly life, instead he lusted after sin. And he pursued sin. And sin, eventually, was his downfall. But because of what he did, amen, do not dabble in this sinful world. One day, the enemy, Satan, will attack you, and you will shake yourself as Samson first shook himself. Amen. And according to the word of God, Delilah betrayed him and sold him out to the Philistines and to see if he had his strength after he told her where his strength was several different times, which was not true. Amen. The word of God says, amen, that she would say to him, Samson, arise, the Philistines are upon you. And he would jump up, shake himself, the power of God was upon him, and he would destroy his enemy. But one day when he told her the truth, and told her his strength was in his hair, and he fell asleep on her lap, and a barber came in and cut his hair off, and whenever she then said, Samson, the Philistines are upon you, and the times passed, he rose up and he shook himself, and knew not that the Spirit of God had left him. The Spirit of God, the anointing of God, departed from Samson. And the Philistines took him, and they put out his eyes. And they put him as you would a mule or an oxen, and put him at the mill, at a wheel, and Samson had to grind the wheat and grind the grain as an ox. And they mocked him. I say to you today, keep your eyes and your love and your affection on Jesus. Do not let Jesus find you having spots, wrinkles, or blemishes. When the trumpet sounds and God raptures out His church. Amen. We're living in a day and a time that you don't hear much said about holiness. Amen. I say to you tonight, the Word of God says, be you holy even as I am holy, and be you perfect. Amen. Now we know that in ourselves we can never be perfect. But we know that in Jesus Christ we can be perfect. Even with our faults, even with our downfalls, because it is the blood of Christ that saves us. Amen. And we put our faith in Him. And when Jesus looks at us and He sees the blood, then guess what, folks? You're not going to have spot. You're not going to have wrinkle. You're not going to have blemish. You're going to be the perfect bride. Not because of your flesh. Not because of your works. Not because you earned or bought heaven, or you decided among yourself that you would live above sin, but because you repented of your sin, and because you accepted Jesus Christ, and He washed away your sins, and because when you make a mistake now, He comes back, amen, and you pray to Him for forgiveness, and He washes away that other sin, amen. And so, therefore, in God's eyes, we can be holy. And I'll tell you something else. Yes, holiness is inside of us. Yes, cleanliness is inside of us. Yes, God looks upon the heart. But I say to you tonight, amen, that what's in the heart will reflect on the outward appearance. Amen. Amen. We represent Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. When people look at us, they don't have the ability to look on our heart to see what type of person we are in our heart. Amen. The only way they can see what is in our heart is by seeing what they see on the outside. The outside will reflect what's on the inside. Amen. You've got God in your heart. Amen. It's going to show up on your outward appearance. Amen. It's not that we want to be better than anybody else. We're not better than anybody else. It's not that we want to say, look, here I am, look at me. Amen. That is not it at all. Amen. We're living in a day of persecution. We're living in a day and a time it's not popular to look holy. Amen. As a matter of fact, we get slurred for looking holy.
Amen.
Amen. People look and say, well, who do you think you are? My God, I'm clean on the inside. It don't matter what I look like on the outside. I say, well, God have mercy. Because, folks, I'm going to tell you something. Our God was holy.
Amen.
Our God is holy. Jesus Christ is holy. And I have no doubt whatsoever that when He walked on this earth, He looked holy.
Amen.
Amen. There's not one scripture that ever says that our Lord was anything but holy.
Sorry.
Amen. People may have accused Him of things, but they accused Him, amen, for the good things He did. Never once in the scriptures did I ever read that they criticized Jesus for His appearance. Amen. They criticized Jesus because of their jealousy, because He was godly.
Amen.
Amen. And they saw God in Him, mm-hmm. and it caused them to be upset.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So, church, we don't want to be a Samson. Do not be an Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright, his inheritance, his place in God's family. For God said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He did not say, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. Now Esau was the firstborn. Esau and Jacob were twin brothers, but Esau was born first, and according to the Jewish law, Esau was supposed to receive the blessing from his father. Amen, because, amen, he was the firstborn. For Esau, he sold his birthright for a morsel of meat. He sold his birthright to his brother Jacob. Hear me. He was not a spiritual man. He was a carnal, fleshly man. And when the day came as him as a great hunter, when he went out to hunt and he was starving because he did not kill anything, and when he came back and saw his brother Jacob sitting by the fire with, amen, a stew of lamb meat, he asked his brother for that stew. And Jacob said, you sell me your birthright and I'll give it to you. Now God has a way and God has a plan. And Esau said, here I am starving to death. What does my birthright matter to me? And he sold it. And went on his way and forgot about it. But what manner of person should we be? Therefore God said, listen to this. God said this. Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. God hates sin.
Amen. Yes, he does.
As men, Jacob and Esau both sinned in their lives. But the difference was that Jacob loved God and repented and sought after God. Mm-hmm. But Esau sought after his belly, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh. Esau hated God. And he loved this world and its sins. Esau never regretted his sinful life until it came the time for his father's blessing. Isaac had grown old. Isaac's eyes had grown dim. Isaac was at the point of death. And Isaac called for Esau that he might bless him. But the word says that Isaac's blessing was for the firstborn. But remember, Esau had sold his birthright. His right for his father's blessing, he sold it to his brother Jacob. So we all know the story of how Jacob received the blessing. And even though he received it by deceit, by pretending to be his own brother, the Word of God says, and though Esau sought for his father's blessing, with grievous tears and pleas, saying, Father, bless me, even me. But sorrowfully, Isaac said, Son, I am sorry, but your brother has received your blessing, and he shall be blessed. Couldn't take it back. The blessing could not be taken back. And therefore, Jacob became the great man of God. Therefore, Jacob became Israel. Therefore, Jacob became the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. Not because Jacob was righteous, but because Jacob loved God and repented. And God saw in Jacob a man after his own heart. But in Esau was a man of the world. What manner of person ought you to be? Church, the time for our Father's blessing, the blessing of Jesus Christ to us, is at hand. The blessing of the catching away of the church, the Lord's rapture, it shall take place in a twinkling of an eye, in a heartbeat. We shall be changed from mortal to immortal, from corruptible to incorruptible, and we shall take on the glorified body, like unto the Lord Jesus' glorified body, and we'll be caught up to meet Jesus in the air to ever be with the Lord. Now, are we a people of vision? Are we, amen, a people of faith? Amen. This The world will never believe. The world will never believe that a dead man will rise. The world will never believe that a person can be changed. Amen. The world will never believe that we can defy gravity and be caught up into the heavens.
Amen.
What manner of persons ought we to be to receive this promise? To inherit everlasting life? In the book of Revelations, like if you would to go to Revelations chapter 21, I want to talk to you about the promise that God has promised His children. Revelations chapter 21. This world is going to be destroyed, folks. This world is going to die.
Amen.
But according to God's word in the book of Revelations chapter 21 verses 1 through 7, John said, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more S-E-A, sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared, amen, as a bride adorned for her husband." Amen. John said, amen, "I saw a brand new heaven and a brand new earth. And on this new earth, I saw no oceans. A new earth that's going to be all land." Think of this, folks. A new earth and a new city is going to come down out of heaven, called Holy City, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband, a city that is four square, a city that's 1,380 miles high, 1,380 miles long, 1,380 miles thick. Amen. It's going to be a huge city. It's going to go clear up into the outer space. Amen. Up to 1,380 miles. And as far as I can understand, I think there's only air to breathe only for about 8 or 10 miles up there, and then you're in outer space. But this city, amen, we're going to be able to breathe, amen, clear up, amen, into outer space. Now, does God love us?
Amen.
"And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. The house of God is going to be with us, and God shall wipe away all of our tears from our eyes, and there shall be no more death, no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain." Now, is this a wonderful promise? "For the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, Write, for these words are true, and they are faithful. And He said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I'll be his God, and he shall be my son." Overcome what? Overcome sin. Overcome temptation. Overcome lust. Overcome envy. Overcome strife. Amen. Overcome covetousness. Amen. All the things that are an abomination to God. Amen. We on this earth, we're going through a test. God is trying us to prepare us for heaven. I say unto you, amen, I believe that this new heaven and this new earth will be a planet exactly like the Garden of Eden. I believe that God is going to receive and have what He has always wanted. He created the earth, and He created man, and He placed man in the garden, and He came and He fellowshiped with man in the cool of the evening, and God wants fellowship with us.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to have a perfect world. We're going to have a world with no more death, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more sadness, and no more tears, and no more pain. We're going to have a glorified body. We're going to have a body like the Lord Jesus Christ's body. In Revelations 22, 1 through 5, as we finish up, "And He showed me a pure river of the water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and the Lamb." I say to you, as you read the Word of God, it says, amen, there's going to be a river of life coming out of the throne. T-H-R-O-N-E. The throne of God and the Lamb. not the thrones of, but just one throne.
Amen.
One throne. God and the Lamb on that one throne.
Amen.
In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, there was the tree of life. The tree of life that was in the Garden of Eden. That tree of life is going to be in this new city. Amen. It's going to be right beside of the river of life. Amen. And it's going to, amen, bear 12 manner of fruits and yield their fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nation. And there shall be no more curse. God spoke to Adam and said, Adam, because of what you have done, cursed is the earth for your sake. He cursed the earth. Amen. And he said, no longer will the earth give you of its abundance, but now you will have to work by the sweat of your brow. And you will have to fight thorns and briars to earn your bread. But here the curse is lifted, folks. Here it's back the way it was in the beginning. But the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, in this new city. And His servants shall serve Him. And they shall see His face. Folks, listen to what Brother Perry's saying. This is the hope of the church. This is why we should be the type of people that God wants us to be. What greater gift could God give us than a new heaven, a new earth, a new body? Amen. And get to see His face. And His name shall be in our foreheads. And there shall be no night there. Hear that. No need of a candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever and ever. Amen. I'll say to you again tonight, we're not going to be like the world depicts, that we're going to be in heaven, floating on a cloud, playing a harp for eternity. No, sir. We're going to be on a new planet Earth. We're going to have a new body, a physical flesh and bone body. We're going to dwell in that city with God, and we're going to be able to have access to the whole planet Earth. The Word of God says in another place that the kings of the earth will bring their goods into that city. And the gates will never be closed by day, and there'll be no nighttime there. Amen? And there's not going to be no need of the sun or moon. This city's going to light up the whole planet Earth. It's going to give light to everybody. Amen. What manner of person ought you to be? This type of person. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Do good one to another. Esteem your brother and sister higher than yourself. What manner of person must you be? What manner of person must you be? Love one another. By this Jesus said, all men shall know that you are my disciples, that you love one another. Love does not hurt or harm one another. Judge not, lest you be judged. Condemn not, lest you be condemned. Forgive one another, and you shall be forgiven. Forgive every man his sins against you from your heart. Do these things, church, and you will hear Jesus say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter you into the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Let's stand.